welcome to the program. We continue in the little book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1, verse number 13. If you can, have your Bible ready. Once again, if you're going to have your Bible ready, you'll get more out of this. And someone has asked, why do you say, if you can have your Bible ready? Well, the reason for that is in June alone, this previous month, there was 2,090 downloads of our messages here concerning the subject that we're dealing with. And 506 of those in the month of June were downloaded to cell phones. And sometimes you're out and about and listening on a cell phone, and it's not possible to have your Bible ready. But we always say if you can have it ready, you'll get more out of the Bible study. So if you can, get your Bible. We'll be looking in the first chapter of Colossians, verse number 13 through 20. Before we look at these verses, listen to this message and song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and 14, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen to this message and song, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, child and forever I am.
We've said many times on the program before, when looking at a portion of Scripture, we look at it, first of all, simply for observation, have a look, see what's there, and then we want to make interpretations and applications. Now, interpretation, sometimes over the years, and many thousands of years, words change, and so we need to have a look and see what do these words actually mean as they have been translated, and then an application for today. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us. These things happen unto them, the Bible says, and they are written for our admonition. So we want to be admonished. Now we're going to read verse number 13 through 23 just to observe it, first of all. It says, "Who hath delivered us," referring to God, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," that is by Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under the sun, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." What an amazing portion of Scripture. As a matter of fact, there isn't any portion of Scripture that isn't amazing. We could be here for months just looking at these verses, but we're just taking some insight from the book of Colossians and hoping to make some applications that can help us through this age of apostasy that we are living in today. Now let's go back to verse number 13. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," that is God, "hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So it says here, first of all, he has delivered us. That is, he has set us free. But not only that, he has translated us. That refers to a condition that has been changed. And not only that, he has redeemed us. It says here in verse 14, we have redemption. Now that word redeemed is in the Bible 62 times. The word redemption here is in the Bible another 20 times. The hymn writer has said, as we've heard today, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am." He has redeemed us, and he goes on to say here, even the forgiveness of sins. That's an amazing thing. The Bible says that when God forgives us, he forgets. I had a person challenge me one time, says, "God can't forget, or he wouldn't be God if he could forget." No, he wouldn't be God if he couldn't forget. If somebody does something against us and we forgive them, well, 10 years from now, we can still remember it, and we may not hold it against them, and we may have genuinely forgiven them, but we cannot forget it. Well, and God can. God can do whatever he wants to do. And the Bible says when we trust him as our personal Savior, our sins are as far as removed as the east is from the west. Now, if you can get a jet going 100,000 miles an hour going east and another jet going 100,000 miles going west, in eternity you would never reach east or west. And that's what the Bible says. Our sins are far as removed as the east is from the west. He says, your sins will I remember no more. Not only forgiven, but forgotten. Concerning the Lord, it says in verse number 16, for by him were all things created. Verse 17, by him all things consist. Now let's read it. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and by him, it says in verse 17, all things consist. So all things were created by him. Now we get the idea sometimes, I think, that Jesus showed up in Bethlehem. No, he was around a long time before that. He is all the way through the Old Testament again and again. His earthly ministry, we find it in the book of Matthew, and when he came here into this world. But he was very active long before that. As a matter of fact, go all the way back to Genesis 1 and verse 1, the first verse in the Bible, and it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And that word God is Elohim. It's actually a uniplural noun. It's referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John 1, verses 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word. You notice there's a capital on that word, Word, W-O-R-D, capital W-O-R-D. It's referring to the Lord every time it's mentioned here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's the same verse. Everything was created by him. How do we know that it's talking about Jesus? Well, for one thing, it has a capital W on the word Word. But in verse 14 in John chapter 1, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. So the Word is the Lord. For by him were all things created. All things were created by him and for him. And verse 17 says, and by him all things consist. There's a lot of talk on how the atom keeps from blowing up. How come it doesn't blow up? It should. Well, because that word consists actually means all things hold together. And if it wasn't for the Lord, who most of this world is cursing every day, the whole thing would blow up. He created it all, and by him all things hold together. We read in verse number 20 that we have made peace through the blood of his cross. So the Bible talks about peace. It talks about peace from God. That was in Bethlehem. It talks about peace with God, and that has to do with us being saved. And then the peace of God, which is for Christians who can have what the Bible calls a peace which passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so the Lord came into this world as a little baby back there, peace from God back in Bethlehem. But peace with God, that's when you trust him as your personal Savior But the peace of God, there's very few Christians, or there's very few who even call themselves fundamental Christians who have this peace that passes understanding when the storm comes by. And the reason is, it's a byproduct, and we've talked about that many times before. Again, in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now that word reconciled means to be restored to a friendly relationship. And sometimes in the word alienated here, it's talking about those who are alienated from Israel, which seems to be the interpretation of the meaning of the word here, because most of the people in the church at Colossae were Greeks, they were Gentiles, and they were alienated from the country of Israel. But it also talks about us being alienated from the will of God, and that's a choice as Christians. We're either going to do God's will, God's way, or we're going to have our own way. And then it talks about being alienated from God himself. But the Bible says, yet now hath he reconciled. That is to restore a friendly relationship between man and God. Verse 23, if. Now, it says in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. Well, how can I be holy and unblameable and unprovable and unreprovable in his sight? Well, verse 23 tells us, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, the Bible, we've said many times, talks about the faith. 43 times you'll find that phrase. But you'll find the phrase, your faith, 24 times. And so if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, not moved away, the faith, if you continue in the faith, in other words, if the faith and your faith are one and the same. Sometimes we talk a good talk, but talk is cheap. Are we living according to what we say we believe? And then he says to be grounded. That is to lay a foundation. And Jesus told the story in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49, and said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which buildeth an house and digged deep and laid the foundation. Now the word grounded, we said, is to lay a foundation. Jesus said the wise man laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation, he built a house upon the earth, and against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So verse 20 says, if, there's a big word, but two little letters, but it's a big word, if ye continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and not moved away.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master I give, henceforth to live. O Christ, for Thee alone, living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. Henceforth to